Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Oh, so I found someone who can come in and do office yoga in the morning before work.
Oh, great. How much are they? You know what? Never mind. I don't even want to know. If they'll come in before work, it's all good.
Okay, cool.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 18 years, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
Today, we'll talk about dressing like a boss. What does it mean? And is it a goal we can achieve? It's debatable.
Then we're going to check in with our former assistant, Brooke Turner. Brooke left the nest about a year ago, and she may be flying back.
Yes. And we're going to answer a listener question about mom guilt. And then we have a shock like a boss Hollywood hack. But first, Sarah, you have an update.
Yes, it's really more of a thank you than an update, I guess. In episode 53, I talked about the recent death of my father, and I've heard from so many of you Facebook messages and on our Facebook group and Instagram and email, and I just want to thank you, all of you, for reaching out. So many people have shared their own experiences of loss, and you know, it sucks, but it does help to hear from people who have been through this and you know, are coming out the other side. And it's definitely heartening to know that it gets better. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of you.
Yes, our listeners are pretty awesome and extremely thoughtful.
Yes, they
in their
are.
Words.
Yes.
Okay, Sarah, on a totally different note, let's dive into our segment from the treadmill desks of in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And today it's dressing like a boss.
Yes. Now, we've been bosses for a long time. You know, often we're just the boss of our assistants.
Yes.
But when we're running a show, we're the boss of a whole production. And now we're running the fix and it's time to put our big boss hats on. But do we actually have to dress like a boss?
This, as you know, is something that I struggle with mightily.
Yes.
I want to wear sweats and a hoodie every day. And we work in TV, so I can't.
Right.
Nobody's going to tell me not to.
Yeah.
Even when we're running a show, I could show up in sweats, a t-shirt, and sneakers, and nobody's going to say a word about it.
It's
but
totally
I
fine.
Always have the desire to up my game.
Yes. And we started talking about this because we found out that Barbara Hall, who is a bit of a legend in this business.
Yes. If you don't know, Barbara Hall is the creator of the CBS show Madam Secretary. She also created Judging Amy and Joan of Arcadia. And she consulted on the first show we created, Women's Murder Club. And she always looks amazing.
Amazing. And so what happened is we found out from a writer who used to work with Barbara that Barbara decided many years ago to always dress like she was going to be called up to a meeting with the network.
Yes.
This rocked my world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as soon as we heard that, we were like, oh, my God. It's like, because it's not that Barbara literally probably thought I'm going to be called up to the network.
No, certainly not. That happens very infrequently.
Yes. If that was your concern, you could just keep a change of clothes at the office.
Right.
I think it was really that she wanted to, I mean, this is me speculating, that she wanted to own being the boss.
Yes.
And there is this notion that if you're in authority, you should look like you're an authority figure.
Right.
And that people will respect you more if you own that.
Right.
So, Lord, what does that mean for us?
I mean, it just makes me feel exhausted, honestly.
Yeah. To think about wearing an outfit every day.
Yes. Even though I know that you're right and that how you present yourself is important and that in order to be treated fully like the boss, it's better to look that way.
Didn't Hitchcock wear suits every day on set?
Yeah, and we've known other directors who wear ties every day.
Well, you know, Gretchen and I, my co-host of Happier with Gretchen Rubin, we did a 30-day dress challenge where we both made ourselves wear actual clothes. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was our 30-day real clothes challenge where we each wore real clothes every day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one downside is I found that I used the treadmill desk a lot less.
Yes.
Because I was wearing different shoes that weren't as comfortable for walking.
Right.
So that's one of the major issues.
And we are talking about getting a treadmill desk and maybe even an elliptical, depending on the space that we have. For our writer's room.
Yes.
So that people don't have to be totally sedentary all day.
Yes.
So if we're having those, you know, we and everybody else is going to need to be in clothes that make sense.
Yeah. What I think I might do is really up my flats game. So up my sneakers to be real fashion sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was with you in New York, I bought some espadrilles that were quite fancy,
very
comfortable.
Fancy. Yes.
And so maybe that's the way in where I can sort of split the difference.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe for me it means black jeans.
Oh, you're just going to wear black jeans.
Like verging on black pants?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But, well, you look a lot nicer than I do on a daily basis.
I mean... I would say it's a matter of degrees.
Well, you certainly look better than I do.
I don't usually wear sweats, but I wear jeans, like, all the time. I used to wear skirts more, but I've really transitioned into jeans. So I think if, like, I wear black jeans and, yeah, like, nice sneakers or nicer shoes, that might be my version of
dressing like a boss.
Yeah.
Because do you think that it diminishes us to people? I think it does.
I think it's hard because in TV, this is really how writers dress, and there's an expectation that writers dress this way. But I also think that if we upped our game, it would be easier for people to see us as authority figures. I think often something that happens with us because we're a team is that our like level of authority gets diluted somehow because it's like, no one knows which one of us to take seriously or something.
Yeah,
and it's like, how about take both of us seriously? But I do think maybe for us, if we elevated, you know, it would be good.
Yeah, because what I think it does, I do think dressing like Barbara Hall fabulously.
Yeah.
It's like you seem more like the owner of a business as opposed to a TV writer. And
right.
a business owner gets sort of more respect than a TV writer.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. And so we want to be the bosses of our, you know, of our entrepreneurial pursuits.
Yeah, right.
We're not just TV writers. We're beyond that. Let's not forget, expand is our word of the
year.
So I do think if we dressed incredibly well, it would have an intangible impact on our lives.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is going to be an ongoing conversation.
Yeah. Well, there's also, you know, does this extend to hair?
Does it go
just beyond wardrobe and into hair?
Hair is major.
And makeup. Ooh.
Yes. I will tell you, I just bought a wand, like a hair wand that helps me extend my blowouts. So if I do get a blowout, I can keep it going for like 4 days.
Oh, that's good.
So we'll see how my hair game is.
Ugh.
It might start off strong. And then as the season progresses, like it'll be back to not showering for a week, wearing sweats.
Maybe we should make a pact for the first month.
Okay.
Like your real clothes challenge.
Yes.
The first month, we'll try it out.
We'll dress like bosses.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any tricks for dressing like a boss? Send us your thoughts. We want to know how to do this. Email us or send a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com.
And now it is time for our segment from the Outer Office. Today, we are checking in with the former resident of our outer office, our former assistant, Brooke Turner. Brooke, welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
We are so good, as you know, because you were working with us for, was it 2 years or 3 years, where we were trying to get a show on the air? We finally accomplished that goal.
Yay! Yeah.
Yay.
So exciting.
Yes. But this isn't about us. It's about you. We promised our listeners when you left that we would check in with you. So we have to start off by asking, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Loaded question.
Not meant to be.
I've been writing. I started working on a new show, not as a writer, but as a writer's assistant and script coordinator. And as a show for OWN.
What's
and
it called?
I just wrapped that up. It's called Love Is.
And what's it about?
It's a romantic comedy, but more romantic. It's a love story about Mara and Salim Akil. So it's their real life love story.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll be watching that.
I got to sit in a meeting with Oprah.
Whoa.
That was pretty cool.
Was she everything that you imagined she would be?
Oprah was everything that I imagined she'd be. And we sang songs with her. It was really great. It was for the table read. And I was super starstruck, even though I'm not often. And someone in the meeting wore an Oprah for President t-shirt that they'd made.
Oh, that's so
that
awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So, Brooke, have you learned any key lessons since you left us?
Key lessons. I've learned a ton. I would say that as far as a lesson that was helpful for me, it was something that one of your listeners said earlier. And this is before when I was still working for you guys. And she said that the antidote to anxiety is action.
Mm.
And I legitimately used that all through the course of this last year and everything I did because I would find myself getting a little restless or anxious. And I would just like, okay, what do you need to get done? And just take one small step. So a lot of it was, you know, if I felt like I was working on a new script and I was feeling really anxious about it, or was taking on a new job and felt really anxious about the new responsibilities, I would just try to like break it down into small pieces and just do something.
Oh,
and that helped.
That's great. Yeah. I think that's your mantra, Brooke. The antidote to anxiety is action.
Well, yes, I don't remember who said it, but they are genius.
Yes.
Now, you're traveling right now. It seems like you've done a lot of traveling since we last saw you.
Yes, I have. I just left Dallas because I was helping my cousin move into her new house. She and her husband just bought a house and they have a new baby.
Aww.
So I went to help out.
And
now I'm just traveling until a date in June.
Yeah, Brooke, tell us what's happening on June 18th.
I'm coming back, y'all.
You are going to be the writer's assistant on The Fix, which in case anyone needs to, it's not our assistant. Mary will still be our assistant. The writer's assistant is the person who's in the room with the writers. And it's like a coveted position, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited and I'm thankful. And yeah, I've missed you guys.
Well, we cannot wait to have you back. We're really thrilled that we get to hang out with you again.
Yes, we are very excited. And we hope that we'll have a whole kinds of talks about what kind of notes we like, because you know, Brooke, I'm very specific about my notes
oh,
in the writer's
God.
Room.
Brooke, yeah. You might want to run.
Yes, I already know. I've gotten samples of some really great notes, so I'm ready.
Okay.
I knew Liz would have very specific requirements.
Yes.
Yes. Well, my pet peeve is that I feel like it's become this thing where writer's assistants just literally transcribe every single thing that's said in the room, which is very impressive in terms of typing skills, but it doesn't help us actually use the information because you can't sift through 60 pages of notes every day. And nor do I think it's helpful for the writer's assistant who is there because they want to be a staff writer and they want to be listening and contributing.
Yeah.
And if you're just transcribing, you can never think or contribute. So anyway.
Right. You're not engaging with the process.
Yes.
If you're just writing stuff down.
Writing down words people say.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes.
Yes.
It's a whole thing.
I won't do that.
You and Liz are going to have many conversations about this.
Well, hopefully they all go well and we're using our normal inside voices.
Yeah, exactly. You will be fabulous, Brooke. You're going to be a great addition to the room. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your point of view. And we're very excited to have you back.
Thanks for bringing me back. I'm happy.
So, Brooke, we will see you in a few days
when the writer's room starts up.
See you in a few days.
See you soon.
Enjoy your days of freedom.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
And now it's time for a listener question. This week, we received a question about motherhood and dealing with guilt. Megan wrote, I am a new mom. My daughter is 4 months old and the light of my life. I work a full-time job as a restaurant manager, which means I work nights, weekends, and holidays. There are stretches of days that I only see her for 30 minutes each day. It's heartbreaking. I am about to embark on a new adventure as I take on a new role in my company. I will be traveling all over the country for 3 months of training, and once training is complete, my new job will require that I travel all over Texas. I'm trying to prepare myself for the huge chunks of my daughter's life that I'm likely going to miss. Her first steps, her first words, etc. I know this career move was the right thing for me to do for my family, but I can't help but feel an extreme amount of mom guilt over not being there to tuck her in every night and hold her when she's crying. As busy working moms, how do you cope with the mom guilt when you can't be with your kids as much as you'd like? What do you do to make the time you spend with them more memorable? My husband is an art director and works Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and we are both full-time online students, graduating this year. Yay! We live more than 2 hours away from family, so getting help with childcare isn't easy.
Well, this is a tough one, Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of our listeners can relate to what Megan is going through.
Yes, as can we.
Yes. I mean, the mom guilt thing is tough. I mean, so many people feel it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm lucky. I don't feel a lot of mom guilt. Partially, I think it's because early on when I was going back to work after I had Jack, I talked to my mom about it and she was like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. You don't need to feel guilty. And the thing is, she had been there with me like every single day. She was a stay-at-home mom. And so I was like, okay, well, if my mom, who's a stay-at-home mom, is saying it's fine not to be a stay-at-home mom, then I'm just not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
But you know, I really care about my mom's opinion.
Yes. So your mom released
you. She released me of the mom guilt.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean I don't have a longing to be with him at times, but I really don't feel guilty about it.
Right. And I feel like, you know, my whole thing is about choicefulness. Mm. And we make choices. And as long as we're doing something for a bigger purpose, I feel like this is just a trade-off that she has to make at this time.
Yeah, we've talked a lot on the podcast about a season of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is her season of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And from what she said, it sounds like she's doing a lot that's going to benefit her child and her family and might lead to her ultimately having more control over her time, mm-hmm. more ability to be a better mother.
Right.
But right now, she has to do this. And so rather than feeling guilty about it, which serves absolutely no one,
yeah.
she should pat herself on the back for taking the steps necessary to improve her family's life.
Yes. And then I would say just prioritize what you really want to be there for.
Yes.
You know, if it's important to you to be there for a birthday, make sure that you arrange the schedule to be there for a birthday. You know, just make the decisions about the important things. And as long as you have those, you know, you're doing what's most important for you.
Yes. And also, I wouldn't say that she should feel pressure to have like so-called quality time. I mm-hmm. think it's like when you're together, you just need to connect. It doesn't need to be like, oh my gosh, the half hour I have her, I'm going to sing to her every single second because
right.
she needs to see that I know all these kids' songs. No, just like hold her, hug her, love her.
Look into her eyes.
Yeah.
Like I find, you know, we're so busy and Violet is almost six and we're, you know, constantly moving and doing this and that. And just literally stopping and looking into her eyes. Like if she asks me a question, looking at her and knowing that she's looking at me, it's so small. Her daughter's 4 months old. Those moments of looking into each other's eyes and connecting are so important.
Yeah, it's like doing nothing can be more important than doing something.
Yeah.
When you're with somebody you love.
Yeah.
By the way, and this is very personal to every parent, I love having Jack sleep with me several mm-hmm. nights a week. And that helps me just selfishly, I love being connected to him. During the night, I feel like it's just more time spent together, even though we're asleep. Now, Megan may not be able to sleep with a 4-month-old. She may not believe in that. So I don't tell anyone they should do that. But I just decided, you know what? The day is going to come when he never wants to sleep in the same bed with me again. So as long as he does, if he wants to, he can, because right. I love it.
See, and please don't judge me for this, but I can't stand sleeping with Violet.
Well, she like, yeah, she sideways sleeps.
She sideways sleeps and she lays on me and it's just awful. I totally agree with you that, like, there are times if, for example, I've been out of town when I'll tell her she can fall asleep in my bed so that she can, you know, sleep with me for a night. It is a great way to, like, connect and have, like, cuddly snuggle time. I just don't love it.
Yeah. Anyway, Megan, we are here to tell you, you're doing an amazing job.
Yes.
You're an amazing mother. If you need to cry, cry. But just know that you are doing the best you can. And we're proud of you.
And it won't always be like this.
It really won't.
Okay, listeners, how do you deal with mom or dad guilt? Shoot us an email or voice memo at happierinhollywood@gmail.com.
Next up, we have a Hollywood hack that makes shopping easier. But first, a word from our sponsor.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Okay, Liz, this week's Hollywood hack is, this is a life changer, ask for a personal shopper.
Yes, we have heard about these personal shoppers. We've never actually done it, but we plan to.
Oh, we're going to
maybe
now.
Maybe in our efforts to dress like a boss.
Yes.
But we found out that you can call a store and ask them to give you a personal shopper, and that person will pick clothes out for you. And so instead of like having to go through every section, go through the racks, find sizes, you can have your own person for no fee.
Right. Here, I'm going to just read the Bloomingdale's website, okay, which has a description of what this is. Okay. It says, our in-the-know personal shoppers can help you work the latest trends into your existing wardrobe, find the perfect birthday present for someone special, or even update your home. So this isn't just your wardrobe. This is your house. Mm. Anyway. Plus, they can pre-shop the store to pull your items before your appointment, saving you time and energy. It's complimentary, and there's no commitment to buy anything.
Yeah, and this isn't just Bloomingdale's.
Our
friend Corrine called to set up an appointment with a personal shopper at Saks, and she warned them she didn't want to spend a ton of money, and they said, that's fine. You don't have to spend a ton of money.
I mean, why are we not all doing this every time we need to go shopping?
I know, it's insane. Because a good salesperson can really help.
Yeah.
And the idea that someone would have pre-selected items, oh my God.
Yeah, and like we don't have a lot of time to shop. And like I just keep thinking, if there was a person who I did this with regularly, a personal shopper,
yes,
who would then like get to know what I like, I mean, how much time could you save?
Yeah, plus, yeah, it's just so morale-killing to try on clothes that don't work for you. So if it's someone who starts to get an idea of what's going to look good and what's going to, like, feel good on you, that also is just so much more of a happiness boost.
Right.
So clearly this is a service we should all be taking advantage of, but we probably don't ask because we don't think we deserve that extra attention.
Right.
But we do.
We do, and you do. Everybody deserves it. Let's do this.
Yes, we all deserve a little celebrity treatment, and we can have it.
Yes.
So next time you're going shopping, get a personal shopper, damn it. And that's it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. Email us or send us a voice memo at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already.
A special thanks to our former assistant, Brooke, for joining us today. Thanks to our producer, the amazing Chuck Reed from Sankola Sound. And thanks to the awesome ad team at Panoply.
Thank you to our assistant, Mary Merkins, for helping us juggle the insanity that is our lives.
And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at Liz Kraft and Sarah is at S. Fain. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Sarah Fain.
And I'm Liz Kraft. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Sarah, would you ever do like a joint personal shopper session with me?
Oh, that's a good idea for our month.
Yeah.
Of dressing like bosses.
Yeah. Like then we can look at the outfits and be like, yeah, that looks good. Maybe not.
I like it.
All right. Let's have Mary get on that.
Okay.
Bloomingdale's, Sherman Oaks. Here we come.